Verse 35 of Mark chapter 4 says, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him?" I looked up that word obey, and I love what the concordance told me. The word obey means to listen. Now let's reread that last line. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea listen to him? Wow. We can hear him, but do you listen? The wind and seas listen to him. My subject tonight is simply this. This is no time to be afraid. This is no time to be afraid. No matter how well you know God, we've been warning you for years. Pastor Cal's been warning you for years. We've been warning you for several months now. There's a storm coming. And no matter how well you know God or think you know God, there's a storm coming your way. What we're facing right now has been likened unto a storm, if you will, this pandemic that we're facing. And some of you, most of us, are right in the middle of this storm. Some of you are getting ready to get into it. Some of you are coming out of it. But whatever, the fact is, this storm is affecting every one of us. And we're right in the middle of it. And no one is exempt from the storm. You know what? No one is exempt from the storms of life, not even you. You may think you're exempt, but just because you know God doesn't mean you're exempt from a storm. The saved you is not exempt. The sanctified you is not exempt. The blood-bought you is not exempt. The redeemed you is not exempt. The churchgoer you is not exempt from a storm. The tither you is not exempt from a storm. The praiser, the preacher, the singer, none of us are exempt from life storms. And listen, it doesn't matter how well you know him or how long you know him, none of you are exempt. The best of us will have to face a storm. Look at these were disciples, the ones that closely followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They had just gotten out a moment of ministry, and now Jesus says to them, "Let us pass over. Let us get into a boat and pass over to the other side." And listen, I want you to understand, just because Jesus is with you and just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from a storm happening in your life. There's pain coming your way. There's peril coming your way. There's sickness coming your way. There are storms coming your way. And that's even if Jesus is riding along with you in the boat. But can I give you some encouragement tonight? This is no time to be afraid. Why? Because he's in the boat. That's the great promise of this whole story. Regardless of the storm, he's still with us in the boat. He's on board. What we are experiencing now is the reality of life, but this is no time to be afraid. Listen, just because Jesus was on board didn't stop the storm from coming, but what it did, it kept the storm from overcoming the disciples. Thank God it kept them from going down in the storm. And just because we have to face storms, and storms will come our way. The storms may not stop, but thank God he'll keep us through the storm. Aren't you glad he's on board with us? Aren't you glad what the word says, that lo, I am with you always? So tonight we have to understand, and this is what I want to ask you, and what I want you to get across in your mind tonight. This is no time to panic. This is no time to be afraid. Number one, I want you to notice why, because Christ is the source. Christ is the source. Notice the very first words that I read to you. And the same day when even was come, he, who's he? Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Christ initiated this boat trip across the Sea of Galilee. He's the source of why they were setting sail in the first place. And so what the problem with the disciples and why they were so panicked and why they were so afraid and why many of us are afraid through this storm is we're not listening to the right source. I'll give you a moment to catch up. We're not listening to the right source. Every day of our lives when we wake up, the first thing we want to do is go to our timeline on Facebook. We want to go to our news feed. We want to go to CNN, NBC, Fox, whatever your source for news is. You want to go there and find out what's going on. Folks, it's time for us to realize they're not the real source or the answer to the problem. Christ is the source. He's the one we need to listen to. And if they would have just listened to the words, he said himself, let us pass over unto the other side. If they would have just listened to his words, they would have understood. Thank God we're going over. Amen. And if they would have listened to the prophets of old and have listened to the scriptures and listened to what Christ had already told them, they should have understood if Jesus was on board with them, he wasn't going to die at sea anyway. Right? His whole purpose in life was not to die at sea. It was to die on land on the rugged cross of Calvary. And if they would just listen to his words, if they would just listen to the source, thank God they would have understood. I'm not going down right now. We may have to go through a storm, but it's not going to kill me. Why? Because Christ initiated it. He is the source of this sea of life that we're going to have to sail across right now. But listen, folks, tonight, why do we have to put our faith and trust in him? Because he said, let us pass over. That means he knows what's ahead. Thank God, listen to the right source. Listen to his words. I will not fail thee. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Listen to the source. And Christ is the source. He's the source. Don't be afraid. This is no time to panic. Why? Because Christ is the source. Secondly, not only is Christ the source, but we have to understand our course in the storm. If you understand the course in the storm, you understand that this is something that all of us are going to have to go through. Now, some people think that when they get saved, that this sea of life that we have to navigate through is an odyssey. Now, let me tell you what an odyssey is. An odyssey is false reality. When there will people that tell you, when you get saved, you won't have trouble anymore. And if you face a storm, that means you must be doing something wrong. Were the disciples doing anything wrong? Absolutely not. Are we doing anything wrong? Maybe, maybe not. But the problem is we face storms and we have to understand we will face a storm. And the truth is there is a sea that we must cross. But listen, remember what Christ said, let us pass over to the other side. Now, not only did he say we're going, but listen to this, he gave them a destination. And he said the destination was we got to get to the other side. So if they would have, again, if they would have just listened, they would have understood that if he said, we're going, that means we're going to get there. Okay, he's promised us. And listen, he's told us. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He told us we need to go and we need to set sail. But thank God, aren't you glad that he's given us a destination to go to? The only problem is he didn't tell us, so to speak, about the storm we're going to face before we get there. And we have to understand the sea of life isn't always calm seas. The sea of life sometimes comes with stormy waters and storms that come up unexpectedly. He gave them a destination and he says, we're going to get there, but a great storm of wind arose, didn't it? God didn't promise us smooth sailing. He didn't. But listen, I've got some encouragement for you tonight. Just hang on with me because it's going to get real good. The best thing we can do right now during this course through the storm, we just got to ride it out. And here, and just stick with me for a second. I've got to point to where I'm going. The best thing we can do is ride it out. See, the problem with the disciples during this time is they were facing the wrong way in the boat. Okay? Now, I'm using my sanctified spiritual imagination. But I'm sure that at this point in time when the great storm of wind rose, They weren't looking at Christ at the very onset. They started looking at the storm around them. No doubt. I mean, what was it just a few days ago? On Wednesday evening, or early Thursday morning, we had a torrential storm that came through. High winds. And hardly any of us, maybe except Jason, slept through it. But hardly any of us were able to sleep because it was a great storm that just sprang out of nowhere, seemed like, and it kept us up. There was hail in many places throughout this county. And so we just wrote it out and we made it and we knew it was going to pass. But when this storm came up, no doubt they were focused on the storm and not on the Savior. Their problem was they were facing the wrong way in the ship. Now, what this led me to was to do some research on rowing. Now, many of you have seen rowing in Olympics and you've seen competitions maybe. Maybe even some of you have done it yourself. But we know the front of the ship is called a bow. We know the hinder part where Jesus was at is called the stern. And the way that rowers sit in their vessel is they sit from bow to stern, but instead of facing the direction they're going, their back is turned to the direction they're going, and they are facing the stern or the hinder part of the ship. Now, sometimes there'll just be two or three people, but if there's a large team of rowers, say seven or eight in one vessel, they'll have a person that'll be at the stern of the ship sitting at the end of that vessel, and they have one purpose. And the focus of those that are going in that vessel, they're going to the other side, see? And their focus isn't on what's coming. Their focus is who's in the back of the ship. And that person that's in the back of the ship, here's what their main purpose is. Number one, their main purpose is to steer the boat. So they're focused. All they're doing, the person is doing, they're yelling out commands. They're yelling out this way. They're yelling out that way. They're yelling out which direction they need to go. And so all they're listening to is the sound that's coming from the hinder part of the ship. All they're doing is focusing on the hinder part of the ship. And all they're doing is they're just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Just keep focus and keep rowing. Keep focus and keep rowing. And so what that person does in the back is they steer the boat. Not only do they do that, but every now and again, they'll provide motivation and encouragement. You know what they'll tell them? They'll just say, keep rowing, keep rowing, keep rowing. They keep them steady. They keep them in pace. They make sure the third rower is not going faster than the fifth rower. They'll make sure everybody's in time. They'll make sure everybody's going the right direction. And as long as they're focused on the one in the back of the ship, he gives them encouragement. He gives them motivation just to keep on rowing. And then what else does he do? Oh, this bless me. He informs them on where they are in relation to the finish line. The closer they get to the finish line, he tells them how far they're away from land. He tells them how far they're away from the shore. And you know what he does? He don't let up on them. No, he just says, just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. You're almost there. Oh, you're only 40 knots away. You're only 20 knots away. You're only 10 knots away. I can see the finish line. We're almost there. Just keep on rowing. And if I got some encouragement for you tonight, we're going through a storm, but I'm going to encourage you, this is no time to be afraid. Just turn around. Look at the one in the back of the ship and keep rowing. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. He knows the end from the beginning. And all you got to do is focus on him and keep rowing. Dan Horner, I know you're going through a terrible time right now. And I know you're watching tonight. And I know your mom is with you. And I don't know what you're going to be facing. But I want to give the Horner family some encouragement tonight. Just keep rowing. Keep rowing. Keep rowing. I know many of you, I'm just so overwhelmed, and I know Pastor is as well. On a daily basis, dozens of people are contacting us, giving us encouragement to keep going, to keep going. And I want to encourage you, we miss you dearly. I'm telling you, our heart breaks almost every day because we can't do what we want to do. And it really breaks our heart as pastors. We see a little bit, just a little bit handcuffed because we just can't do what we want to do and what we love to do and minister to you and help you. And we miss you so much. But I got some words for you. Just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. And guess what we're going to do every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, Sunday night? We're going to get up here. We're going to keep rowing. We're going to keep rowing. We're going to keep going. Why? Because the finish is just inside. What? Glory to God. And the master is in the back of the ship. And guess what? All we got to do is wake him up and say, Jesus, help us. You know what he says to us? Just keep rowing. Amen. Turn around and keep rowing. Thank God, Christ is the source. Notice the course in the storm, but finally notice the calm of the sea. When the disciples finally had enough of the storm around them, they looked around and they saw Jesus asleep. Now, he was teaching them a great lesson. That's how we're supposed to act during a storm, by the way. We're supposed to be able to sleep through it. We're supposed to be able to have perfect peace. Why? Because he's with us. But they said, Master, don't you care? We're going to die out here. Don't you care? You notice, I noticed something. He didn't even speak to them first, did he? No, he just got up and rebuked the wind. That word rebuke means to censure. It means to, what literally we would think to rebuke or to censure something, that's exactly what he did. To boldly speak to it in a way that it would do the opposite of what it was. So notice this. He did not tell the wind to stop. He just told the wind to calm down so they could handle it. No, the wind won't stop because the wind always blows. It just doesn't blow as hard sometimes as other times, but the wind's always blowing. And he said, wind, calm down. And then he spoke to the sea. He said, peace, be still. And we know from our dear friend Billy Huddleston that's preached out of this text many times, the word be still is to be muzzled, as if to say, shh, shh, see, shh. They're scared of you, so shh. He rebuked the wind. He calmed the sea. Aren't you thankful we serve the master of the wind and the seas? He knows exactly when to say, wind, calm down. Storm, shh. And there's going to come a day. And guess what? The federal government, the state government, the local governments don't have control over when this storm is going to stop. Only Jesus knows when to stop this storm. But one day he will say, shh, that's enough. Peace be still. Peace be still. This isn't a time to be afraid or to be panicked because we know the master of the wind and seas. But notice what he'll do. You notice there's a common theme in a couple of these verses. In verse 37, it says, there arose a great storm of wind. And then notice in verse 39, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So the great storm, in a matter of seconds, went from a great storm to a great calm. What's the Holy Spirit trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us, for every strong storm, God will give you just as strong of a calm in your heart. No matter how much of a mess you're in, God will give you just as great a miracle. No matter how great the problems are in your life, God will give you just a great of praise on the other end. So what should we do in this time? What should we do? Remember, God always matches the storm to the success. He always says, where there's a great storm, I will give you a great calm. No matter what you're facing, there's going to come a day when all this is over and the storm is over. And we're going to look back and say, God has given us blessings upon blessings. And he's turned all this out for good. So I'm telling you, Rubyville Community Church, those of you that are watching, it's time for us in this time. This isn't a time for us to relax as a child of God. This isn't a time for us to say, oh, I got a few weeks off from coming to church, and then I'll get back into the swing of things. No, no, no. It's time for you to prepare your heart, because I guarantee when this is all over and they say we can come back to church and we can fill this place up, there's going to be hundreds of people coming that's never darkened a church door before. We know for a fact there are people that are watching this live stream right now that have never darkened this church door. And guess what? They're coming. In Jesus' name, they're coming. In Jesus' name, they're coming. And no matter how great the storm is, guess what? On the other side of the storm, thank God we're going to be rejoicing. We're going to be praising for the great miracle that Jesus is going to bring. And listen, I got good news for you. The very first verse of chapter 5 says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Jesus said it was going to happen, and guess what? It happened. There's the other side of this storm, and thank God it's coming. It's coming. All we got to do is keep rowing, keep rowing, and understand one day Jesus will step to the front and say, enough is enough. Thank God, let go, calm down, storm, be quiet, and thank God we can rejoice over the great miracle that's coming our way. And no matter what you're facing tonight, Lord, families, they get ready to come and sing. No matter what storm you're going through, remember this, he's the source. He's the one that says, let's go, knowing that well ahead there's a storm coming. Months ago, he's told us through prayer and through study, there's a storm coming. Did we imagine it to be this way? Absolutely not. But Lord, we have to say, your will be done. Get us to where we want you more than anything in this world. Get us to where that during this time we're praising you greater. No matter how great the storm is, whatever you're facing tonight, whatever storm you're going through, I'm asking you, bow your heart before God. Give your heart over to Jesus. The greatest storm you'll ever face is a storm of sin. And the only way out of that is for to ask Jesus to come to the front of your boat and say, peace.
Yes, Lord.
Peace. Do you have peace? You can have it.
Amen.